ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu.
Hello, William.
Wendy, nice to see you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the stream. For the next hour, it's just me and Wendy and you, and we're talking about whatever we feel like. It's the stream of consciousness, or it's the bonus hour. It's up to you.
All right, we have breaking news. I got an alert.
Oh. Is it serious?
Well, you know, O.J. Simpson is up for parole tomorrow. And a lot of people are thinking that he is going to be released from jail. Even the guy he stole from at this...
the sports memorabilia show?
He is going to testify at the parole hearing on behalf of O.J.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
I heard that in the news saying that, you know, he has been in there 9 years.
That seems like a long time.
I know.
For this particular offense.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, now, according to the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Hello. This is an exclusive. O.J. Simpson's parole may be in jeopardy.
Oh.
After he was caught pleasuring himself in his Nevada prison cell.
Is that right?
I have a lot of questions about this, first of all.
What are your questions?
Well, let me read you the story, and then I will share them with you.
Right.
Perhaps you know the answers. I'm betting not.
All right.
The former football great was caught pleasuring himself by a female corrections officer making her normal rounds at the Lovelock Correctional Center in Nevada.
He had himself
in a Lovelock. That's not my question.
I guess he did.
First of all...
That's how it got its name, I bet.
Well,
it's conducive.
Can't you do that when you're in prison?
I think that's probably your private time, and you can spend it whatever way you
meditating.
Want.
Meditating?
Yeah. Or something alphabetically similar. I bet it's up to you.
I mean, I didn't think that that was a no-no, and I'm curious as to whether a male guard was doing the checks over at Lovelock Correctional Center, saw O.J. and just said... Put that away.
Put that thing away. Oh, another good question that I don't know the answer to.
He is facing a disciplinary hearing after being written up for...
What's the code on this? Indecent? Is it indecent exposure?
No, it just said he was written up for...
Is it...
Masturbating in his prison cell, quote unquote. This is according to a prison source... that talked to the DailyMail.com.
Yeah.
Up until June, when the incident occurred, O.J. was a model inmate ever since he entered Lovelock in 2008.
Yeah.
He was convicted on charges of kidnapping and robbery after confronting a pair of memorabilia dealers with loads of O.J. souvenirs at the Palace State Hotel.
How many?
A pair?
No, I don't know.
Simpson is the commissioner of the Softball League.
Well, good job. That's a great job. If he's looking for work when he gets out, I think he'll get hired right away. What have you done in the past, Mr. Simpson? Well, I was the commissioner of the Prison Softball League. Hired.
And he works cleaning the facility's workout center, because you know he's there all the time.
Right.
Working out, pumping iron, kissing his guns, and then some.
Pumping iron? What are you talking about?
He was written up for that.
He's always been something of a do-it-yourselfer.
He will appear remotely from Lovelock in front of the four-member parole board in Carson City, Nevada, via video conference at 1 p.m. tomorrow, their time. But he could be denied parole.
Because of this?
I guess.
Wow.
He was caught pleasuring himself in his cell.
Did he use the famous glove, Wendy? If the glove.
He doesn't have the glove.
If the glove fits.
God, sometimes I really don't like being here. He could be denied parole after he was caught doing whatever he was doing.
Right.
Because it's strictly verboten in federal prisons in the United States, according to a prison source. I doubt that.
That's impossible. That's impossible. It's not even forbidden here at WGN. It's encouraged.
I'm done talking.
I am shocked. Every part of this story shocks me.
I got to tell you, and I've never been in prison, and that's my goal, to never be in prison.
Yet. let's qualify this.
Did you smoke a big doobie in between shows? You're being very silly.
There's an ether leak in here.
There must be. But if you think of prison, and you think, what's the one thing most
that'll
of the prisoners
pass the time that'll make the time go
faster? Okay, that. And what's the one thing that most prisoners are doing at the same time? I would guess that
lifting weights.
That's
I would
not
say
what I
lifting
would...
weights and then this.
OJ,
but never together. One or the other. We've got rules.
He was caught by a female corrections officer making her normal rounds in late June. DailyMail.com confirmed with Lovelock Correctional Center that it does employ female correction officers. Again, I wonder if a male officer would have seen him. If
it would have been business as usual, right? OJ, please.
Again?
Right.
You're getting older.
Right.
OJ, now 70.
Wow. O.J. Simpson is 70.
He
Moment
goes in
of silence as we all ponder that.
It's weird. Yeah. He goes in front of the Nevada Department of Corrections, as I told you, the parole board tomorrow. He still won't have faced a disciplinary hearing for the charge, which says the source could pose a problem for him.
Mm.
I can't see him.
How come only one? There's only the Daily Mail is the only story that's on this.
Because it's an exclusive.
Is that why? Yeah.
But here's the thing. If he's denied parole because of this,
right?
This is the most embarrassing thing to go down.
I
shouldn't say that.
I don't know. He's had a couple of weird things. You know, think about it. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, that's... I wonder if they're going to bring this up. Again, I shouldn't say that.
You can't... The whole thing is just so awkward, and why should this? Let's say he was doing this. Let's say he's guilty of this. Why should that change his parole? Should it?
Because it's just say forbidden that, in U.S. prisons.
In all U.S. prisons,
that's according to a prison source at Lovelock.
I don't know if that. How could that be true?
I don't know. I really don't even believe that to be true.
Wow, this is crazy.
All right, and I have an update. We'll see what
happens.
They're
going to have to change that O.J. Simpson made-for-TV movie from last year. They're going to have to add on another 12 minutes to this.
12 minutes?
I'm just being kind. I don't know how much time it took him. I know he was a very fast runner. I know that. I don't know what correlates.
All right. Well, that's the update that I have on the O.J. Simpson parole hearing, which takes place tomorrow afternoon.
Right. Don't sit up front. It's like a Gallagher show.
You think, you know, because we're on the stream, you can just say whatever you want.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something caught red-handed.
That was from Kevin. I've never been more proud.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find the story right now, but you know about the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
No.
It's supposed to be the deadliest, quickest, largest dinosaur that roamed the Earth.
I know that part.
Millions of years ago.
Right.
Well, now they're saying that...
it may be denied parole for what they caught him doing in the cell?
No, their arms are too short. Believe me, I've thought about that.
Wow.
Like, who would want to have arms that short?
That's why they're extinct. They couldn't stand it anymore. It's too frustrating.
No, but there's a new story. I got to find this for you because, really, we all have been led to believe that this is the scariest creature ever. And if it was chasing you, you'd be in terrible trouble. But they're now saying that the Tyrannosaurus Rex couldn't run at all.
What? Why?
50 years ago, if you'd asked dinosaur experts, they would have told you that the Tyrannosaurus Rex was a speed freak, a giant predator that could outrun racehorses.
Wendy, whenever they show one of these in any movies about dinosaurs, that's what makes them so ferocious, is you couldn't outrun it.
Absolutely.
It would catch you and just tear you to shreds.
Evidently, that's not true. The paleontologists would have pointed to its 3-meter hind limbs, leggy for even a big dinosaur, and described the creature as sprinting after prey at speeds of greater than 40 miles per hour.
Yeah.
But a better understanding of physics kneecapped the Swift T-Rex concept.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists, rather than looking at the bones alone, began to gauge dinosaur locomotion via models of skeletons and muscles. The picture that came into focus was a slower beast, T-Rex, although no less of a predator, but it was less fleet of foot. There's a new report that was published yesterday in the journal Peer J, don't know what it is, refined just how fast the dinosaur could go. T-Rex wasn't much of a runner, the study authors say. In fact, it couldn't run at all. It speed walked. Thanks to its wide stride, T-Rex
like would... the mall walkers that we see sometimes. It was like that.
Thanks to its wide stride, the T-Rex would reach about 12 miles per hour at its quickest hustle.
That's it. But it had such incredible reach that I bet if you were near it...
And 8-inch long teeth.
Although, is it... forgive me for not knowing this, but I get my eras mixed up when it comes to dinosaurs. A little while ago, they released a bunch of dinosaurs that they said, even though you've seen in the movies... you've seen, like, cavemen and stuff running from these kind of dinosaurs, that people and certain dinosaurs didn't exist at
the same time.
So, like, we always see, like, Cro-Magnon men running from Tyrannosaurus rexes, but they weren't around at the same time, right?
No, I only saw that in the BC comics.
Right. They would show it sometimes
right.
in there.
But no, right. they did not.
They didn't coexist.
Nope.
Okay.
Previous estimates of the T-Rex maximum pace ignored weight loads on the animal's bones. The new study took those into account, and the T-Rex, as they computer generated this and stuff, it says at a run, the model indicated that T-Rex's bones would just snap because its legs would buckle under the huge weight of the animal.
Really?
So unable to break into a sprint, it must have stepped its way through the Cretaceous period.
I wonder if, you know how the dinosaur community, like, does this just knock them on their end when there's something that they've believed for decades and decades, and then somebody smarter goes, you know, realistically, even though we've all thought this, it's impossible. I bet that just messes up the whole dinosaur world.
Paleontologists?
Yeah.
I would think so, but then again, they're scientists, so they're always discovering new things. So
right.
I think they wouldn't be disappointed. They would be pleased that we're making progress.
But don't you think there's also some, like, some hardliners who go, oh, no, we believe this for a reason. We've stuck with this forever and ever and ever. And despite this new evidence, we think Tyrannosaurus rexes ran very, very fast.
No, they're now saying...
they all give into this?
There's this one report, so I don't know if we should talk to somebody at the Field Museum.
All right.
Talk to the Sioux who brought us Sioux.
Right.
However, this report does not mean a 7-ton T-Rex at a full bore walk was anything less than terrifying.
I'm sure of it.
Because if that thing's coming at you, you'd be so panicked, it wouldn't matter if it's going like 12 miles
right.
per hour.
Right.
You'd be freaking out. And the stride, it's like...
right, because it was so big,
that
it could still catch you fairly. Even though it wasn't moving as fast as we thought, it's still so big. Well, I wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes in dinosaur times.
I would have just thrown myself at it.
Yeah.
Pick me up with those little arms. Just bite my head off and end this.
I'm going to have to rewatch my Land of the Lost episodes with this knowledge in my mind. That Marshall, Will, and Holly could have escaped a lot easier if they'd set their minds to it. Do you remember when, did you watch Land of the Lost? Do you remember when the guy who played the dad, Marshall, decided he didn't want to be on the show anymore? So he came back to modern day times, but he was replaced by his brother. Like, they just happened to be at the same place at the same time, even though there was a million years in the middle, and then they transferred, his brother joined him, but he left. Did you remember that?
I didn't pay attention at that point.
That's when I thought it was. This is fakey.
That's when you decide?
Yeah. I was fine with everything that happened on Land of the Lost until that happened. And then I went, this is fakey.
That's what took you in.
Yep.
I also, yesterday, remember we were talking about Steve Whitmire was let go after 27 years of being Kermit the Frog.
Oh, yes.
I found out, thanks to our own Dave Marzullo here at WGN Radio.
Yeah.
He sent me more information on why he was let go.
I don't know if you know this, but Dave Marzullo has taken this very hard. He's almost inconsolable. He's been so upset over the loss of Kermit the Frog.
I gotta try and find this. All right.
Yesterday we were at odds because we knew that this guy who'd been the puppeteer and the voice of Kermit since Jim Henson died had been let go for his radical feelings on the new direction that Kermit could take, should take, but they weren't specific on what these new directions would be. So we couldn't figure out why they would let him go.
In a Monday interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Whitmire explained that he was let go by Disney in October. He was given two reasons. Unwanted notes during the short-lived Muppets reboot on ABC and a union disagreement. News of his termination has since come to light after months of being told he was going to be honored for his contributions to the Muppets and the hope of working out issues with Disney brass. The first issue was that they felt I had been disrespectful in being outspoken on character issues with the small group of top creative people during the ABC series. This is what Whitmire's saying. He had been working with the Muppets since 1978, and now he goes on to say, I have been outspoken about what's best for the Muppets since the Muppets came to Disney in 2004. But the fact is, I have respect for everyone who was involved in the creation of that series for their own particular contributions. At the same time, I also have insight into their limitations with respect to how well they know the Muppets. You can't criticize the people who brought you the Muppets.
All right, so he's obviously referring to Brian Henson, who's Jim Henson's son and is in charge of all things Muppety.
Right.
So obviously these guys don't see eye to eye on something, but they're still not telling us exactly what it is, because he might be right. Maybe he's saying the reason that this Muppet show failed, and it did. It didn't last long.
It was not good. Did you watch it, the reboot?
No, I didn't see any.
I watched it with the kids. They loved the Muppets. I thought, you know, this is going to be made for adults, too. We'll watch it together.
Yeah.
Michael wanted to love it so much, but it was difficult to love. It wasn't that good.
So it's possible that this guy, this Whitmore guy, is that his name?
Whitmire.
Maybe he's on to something.
Yeah, but he's going to, obviously, you shut your mouth and you be Kermit. It's a great gig that he's had for 27 years.
For a long time, right. But you know how, like, at some point, all right, George Lucas, when he came up with the first three Star Wars movies, that's genius, right? But then at some point, I know that this is a debatable topic, but the movies weren't anywhere near as good as they once were. So when Disney took them over, they kind of phased George Lucas away.
Well, he sold it. He made a lot of money.
He sold it. But he still wanted to have some input. Like, he went on board as saying, I threw him a whole bunch of ideas for these new movies, and they went, oh, yeah, we'll look at these, thanks. And they waved at him and never to be seen again.
Right. Well, now here's what Disney says. Disney and the Muppet Studio have a differing interpretation of the terms of Whitmire's departure, stating that the actor exhibited, quote, unacceptable business conduct. A source close to the studio told THR that Whitmire's communication style was overly hostile and unproductive, and his way of negotiation delayed productions. That would stink, too. You're trying to get this new show off the ground.
Right, and he's being difficult.
Yes. His persistent unprofessional behavior over a number of years ultimately led to the decision, the source said. As for Whitmire being honored, the source told this publication, THR, the puppeteer was not interested in what was proposed. No details were given.
At some point, somebody's going to come through and say what exactly these disagreements were about, right? I mean, I know they saw things a different way, but until they say exactly what they were, because like I said, he might be onto something.
Yeah, but if, you know, he's not the creative director. No. He's there to stick his hand up a puppet's butt.
Right.
Whitmire.
Enter Judy Pilak. Judy, you came in at the strangest time.
Well, we're doing an update.
We've been here for 24 hours. We didn't go home. When we said goodbye yesterday, we said, no, there's too much Muppet news. We're staying put.
You got to turn that microphone by your lovely lips. Hello. Test. Yeah. Testing 1, 2, 3. Whitmire, who was asked to take over Kermit by Henson's family after the creator's untimely death in 1990, said that an instance of a note was over a script for the new ABC series canceled last year in which Kermit lied to his nephew Robin about his breakup with Miss Piggy. The plot thickens here.
Wow.
I don't think Kermit would lie to him, Whitmire explained. I think that as Robin came to Kermit, he would say, things happen, people go their separate ways, but that doesn't mean we don't care about you. Kermit is too compassionate to lie to him to spare his feelings.
Isn't it more disturbing that a pig and a frog are involved in a romantic liaison? Isn't that a little more disturbing than anything going on, like like with his nephew.
I don't think you're supposed to think about it too hard.
No.
He continued, Whitmire says, we have been doing these characters for a long, long time, and we know them better than anybody. I thought I was aiding to keep it on track. I think a big reason why the show was canceled after one season.
But that's a valid, don't you think that's valid? He's got something there. I mean, it's not solely up to him, but...
It's nothing up to him.
He should have some input, don't you think?
No,
not at all?
He's not a part of the creative force. He's there to be Kermit.
To be the voice.
To read the script.
Yeah,
can an actor stand up and say to a director, I don't like the way this character's going? I guess they can.
Yeah. They do that all the time.
Yeah, they do that.
I think they're being extremely harsh on him.
I am not saying my notes would have saved it, but I think had they listened more to all of the performers, it would have made a really big difference. The second issue Whitmire says he was given concerning his termination was a union issue. Oh. It was framed as refusing to work on a particular project some 15 months earlier, Whitmire explained. I happened to get caught in the middle of a dispute on a contract classification between SAG-AFTRA and Disney labor relations, which occurred while I was in flight to work on the project and the commercial.
Oh.
I did, in fact, shoot the commercial, but was unable to shoot the material for the project in order to comply with my obligations to the guild. Well, that I understand. If you're a union member, you've got to uphold it.
Right.
According to sources, though, there was not one specific incident that led to Disney parting ways with Whitmire. Rather, issues that went on for many, many years.
Hmm.
Whitmire says he's still baffled by the entire situation.
Are you guys happy with my headlines? Is there anything else I can do to make them better?
No, you're doing fine.
No, okay. We just wanted to do an update.
No.
I'm being funny,
you're
Wendy.
The input of Mr. Whitmire.
Yeah, no,
because
I would never tell
I am
you
just
what
here,
to do.
Really? Because I'm just here to read. You guys tell me.
But
don't you think you have a certain obligation to...
You have an obligation, but I think if you're him and you've spent this... He's been there since 1978.
Yeah.
Right. So that's almost 40 years. Don't you go, I've been...
Well, Jim Henson died in 1990, and that's when he took over.
Oh, 1990?
Well, but he was with the...
So still, that's 27 years of being Kermit. So at some point, as time goes on, you kind of go, well, Kermit might not say this or might not think this.
I mean, am I being cynical, or did they just want to get rid of him?
I think they did.
Because it's nothing major. It's, okay, I could maybe see it, but yeah.
Because Bill has gone to Todd Manley, who's celebrating a birthday today, one of our bosses, and you said that the show should be better, and I don't agree with that.
You said worse. You said, I think the show's too good. We need to screw it up more.
This show is as good as it gets.
Yeah, it can't get any better.
Well, that's sad.
It cannot get any better. All right, we'll take a quick break. Judy's got the news, and then more stuff. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Judy.
You bet.
It's Bill F. and it's Wendy
Snyder.
And
if there's anything I can do to improve, please let me know.
That's not our job to tell you.
You do a pretty good job on your own, Judy. I don't think either Wendy or myself could say anything that would make
the
you
funny
better or
thing
worse.
Is.
I don't know if you've seen the numbers, but
if she, you know, she's saying that to us. Are these okay? Is there anything if we even tried to suggest something,
she'd pull out a stun gun.
Yes.
Get zapped right in the forehead.
I'm just thinking about that. The visuals, kind of pleasing.
Is it? Thank you.
I would like to use that on a lot of people here, actually. Can I get a stun gun?
Yeah, you can get a stun gun. Right. It's easy to get a stun gun.
I need a license.
Do you know who Meghan Markle is?
I know that name.
She's an actress. She's on a show called Suits, but she's also the girlfriend of Prince Harry.
Oh, yeah, that's where
she's
I've heard her
name. She's been
dating
Prince Harry for quite a while.
Is she older?
She is a little bit older than he is.
He's the redhead, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's dark.
Both. She has one white parent, one African-American parent.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
She has been married before, which some Brits are a little nervous about. There's some people going, I don't know if the prince should be married.
Of course, I'm of the opinion that Prince Harry might have a different dad, but whatever.
A lot of people think that.
Well, I read a lot of People magazine.
A lot of people
think
that.
He doesn't look like, is it Will?
Right. He doesn't look like his older brother, William, at all.
Oh, and he doesn't look like Prince Philip, really. But he certainly looks like the stable boy. Or whoever it was.
Yeah, there was.
I don't even know who, but it's someone who worked on the
grounds. Brideshead Revisited. You're not watching the Royal Family.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
But Prince William looks just like Diana. And in my opinion.
Yeah, his face is very similar in structure. Yeah.
And weren't they saying something? I had just read something that the boys had this interview special where they were talking that their mom talked pretty openly about sex and stuff with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Very non-traditional.
Oh, very non-traditional.
Yeah, I would never have pegged her to be that kind of person.
Prince Harry... He's an interesting guy because he just said, was this 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that there were times where he just didn't want to be a part of the royal family anymore. It was just too intense for him.
And he wanted to go groom the horses?
He wanted to groom the horses, to your credit, Judy.
Can't let it go.
But he said that he has suffered from panic attacks at different points in his life. And, you know, different people have said to him, you're one of the royals. You don't want to admit to this. You know, just lay low on this. We have
an
image. Don't
admit you're human,
right,
for God's sake.
Right.
But that's why they're so different. And they were saying that Princess Diana was
Real lady.
No, she was more like Prince Harry.
Yeah, she was kind of pushing the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She wasn't like
more
your traditional...
Lady.
Well, she was more of a real person. She wasn't
But don't you think she held up both ends? I mean, she did. She did a really good job in public,
Of being what they needed her to be.
Right.
But the people, the people of Great Britain just loved her. They just loved her.
I loved her.
And, well,
she was a princess.
That whole story was just so fantastic, you know? But people in England, mostly fans of Meghan Markle's, despite people going, oh, she's already been married and that's a problem, and she's an American and that's a problem, and she has no royal blood in her and that's a problem. Well, she's just announced, I'm surprised you didn't lead the newscast with this, Judy, this is shocking to me, she has announced her favorite restaurant.
Great, I can hardly wait.
Meghan Markle says that the best place to eat, her favorite place to go, is the Cheesecake Factory.
Now I really don't like her.
Oh, I like her more.
And I didn't even know she was American. I thought she was British.
I just think it's so non-characteristic of somebody who could potentially be married to the prince.
And potentially go to any restaurant in the universe.
You pick it.
And listen, right. I'm not here to knock the Cheesecake Factory, but I've had much better.
Yeah.
Well,
the portions are really big, and maybe that's what
the menu's really big.
The menu's too big.
It's too much.
She leads a storybook life, and the menu there is like a storybook. So maybe she sees some kinship.
And I go there not often, but often enough. It's always packed.
Always.
It is always packed. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What's the restaurant that's right down here that's owned by the Cheesecake Factory?
Purple
it's on Michigan Ave. No. I can't think of the name
it's
of it. I'm looking at it from the window.
What?
Yeah.
Bandera?
No. It's up on the second floor on the west side of the street. I'm pointing at it right there, but I can't think of the name of it.
On the second
floor? But it's the Cheesecake Factory owns it, but it's like a jumped up version. It's slightly more expensive and high end.
Oh, I don't know.
Aldi?
No,
that would be one down.
No, but that's Trader Joe's and Aldi.
Kevin,
I don't know.
Can you look
on
it up?
Seven.
It's on Michigan
like
Avenue. It's
no, that's
Corner Bakery.
That's the Banos Brothers.
Yeah.
On Heaven on Seven. No, it's the green. See where I'm pointing right there. It's that green. All those the green trimmed windows.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Grand Lux Cafe.
Oh, the Grand Lux.
Grand Lux.
I like that place.
That's Cheesecake Cafe. But it has the same kind of extensive menu and all different kinds of desserts and stuff.
Cheesecake.
I'm taking Meghan Markle
cheesecake
there after the show today.
She'll go with
I'm going to show her a better time than Prince Harry.
And I'm sorry, where has she been in? What? She's an actress?
She's in a show called Suits that's on satellite or cable that I've never seen. She's stunning. She's so beautiful. You know who she looks like is? She looks like Princess or Duchess Kate's younger sister who just got married, but I hate to say this, but like a more... vivacious version of that, you know.
But she's not related to them.
No.
But she just looks like looks like Minnie Driver to me a little bit.
That's who she reminds me of. Yep.
And there's a picture of her in unseen school photos of her as a homecoming queen.
Yeah.
How much older is she?
So she does have some royalty in her background.
She has worn a crown.
That's how she sold it to the family.
Hey, that's more than royalty. Queen Latifah.
Right. So good for her. She's not afraid to say that the finest restaurant in all the land is the Cheesecake Factory. I wonder once she and Prince Harry, should they get married, I wonder if there will be treks out there that they'll find a cheap. Well, there aren't. I don't know that there
I'm
are
sure
any
they'll
in England.
Cater.
Yeah, they would send a
cater the wedding.
A catering plane.
Yeah.
Her real name is Rachel.
Oh, what? I didn't know that.
It's Rachel Meghan Markle. She later dropped her first name.
Oh.
That's weird.
And how old is she?
Let's see if it says here anywhere. Well, her favorite restaurant is the Cheesecake Factory, so I'm going to say 11.
She's 35. She was in a high school production of the 1920s set musical Stage Door.
Oh, she got great reviews in that.
Her dad, Thomas, even worked on the show as a lighting director.
I didn't know that. Well, then let her be the princess.
Very theatrical.
Let her be
family.
The duchess.
In 1998, she was in the school's performance of Stepping Out and Damn Yankees, where she played Devil's assistant Lola and belted out the song Whatever Lola Wants.
Lola Gets.
Lola Gets.
That's what we say about you, Judy, when you're not here.
We even call you Lola.
Right. Thank you.
That doesn't mess with you.
I might change my name to Lola.
But her story is so different. You know the background with Princess Kate and Prince William, right? Where, like, the first time she saw him in school, she said, I'm gonna impress that. I'm gonna marry that guy. And everyone said, well, you can't. You're not of royal lineage. That's not gonna happen. And she just had her sights set on him and won him over.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know a lot about them.
Yeah. Well, I've written some books on that.
I hadn't heard that part.
Yeah. I'm going to be on with John Williams later because I wrote a book.
She's not royalty, but she's something like.
Well, she is now.
But no, wasn't her house.
She married into.
Oh, I thought they weren't royalty, but they were. You know how you had in the old days the royalty and then you had your commander, so to speak.
Right.
Called something else. I think she was in one of those houses.
She was in the Gryffindor house.
All right. Well, there you go.
Harry Potter.
I don't understand the whole royalty thing. I really don't.
Well, for a long time, it meant a lot to aristocracies to marry other royals. Like, you couldn't just, despite the fact that you've seen this in grim fairy tales, you couldn't just see a girl on the street if you were a prince or a princess and go, I got to marry that guy or that girl. They wanted to keep the bloodline high. So it was a real battle to marry.
And it was down to the houses. It was, you know, the house of whatever.
Right.
House of this.
Of ill repute. That's all.
Well, basically, believe me, it was a lot of house of woo. But they had all, you know.
Woo.
Yeah, woo.
That's one of the Asian dynasties.
It was all about the.
Yeah. Keeping heirs.
Keeping heirs and keeping it in the family.
Because you didn't want your royals to marry a commoner.
Exactly.
Because that would ruin the bloodline.
So what I was thinking was that Kate wasn't really a commoner, while this girl is, while Meghan is.
Right? Yeah.
Kate, Harry. I think he had some.
Yeah.
Harry's got to mix it up a little.
He's definitely the.
Yeah.
Sheep of the family, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's done everything.
Oh, so am I. So there's nothing wrong with that.
That's why we all love him. And he's got the best name, Harry.
Harry. Although that's not his, that's a nickname.
What?
His birth name is not Harry.
Is it Rachel?
No, it's not Rachel.
Like Megan's is?
Is it Henry maybe or something?
I think it is.
Well,
Henry.
It's a variation right?
Harry and Henry are. Harry's a short names. For Harold, but we're talking to someone whose dad has two names. Whatever he's in the
world. Stan Lee.
And that's crazy.
And he's not that Stan Lee.
But I know Harry's birth name isn't Harry. It's just a nickname.
You know, you all have computers.
Oh, I thought it was.
Henry Charles Albert David. Henry.
I was right.
Take your pick. He's got four.
He's got a bunch of names.
Henry Charles Albert David.
We forgot good. Harry.
William Arthur Philip Lewis.
Those are the Marx Brothers.
No, that's Will's name.
Oh.
Prince William, excuse me.
Yeah, that's Prince William to you, pal. Now,
do you know Harry's 32?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I always think of him as just
younger?
This young little kid.
Remind me, because I was too young to know or realize what was going on.
Oh, but
here.
I'll know the question here or the answer. Go ahead.
Well, because it happened 6 months before I was old enough to realize this. When Prince Rainier married Grace Kelly, were the people there upset because she wasn't royalty? I mean,
no,
she was
Grace
a movie star.
Yeah,
so you would think
she was beloved.
They must have embraced her and loved the fact.
And she was so classy.
Oh,
one of the most beautiful women to
of
ever walk this planet.
So beautiful.
Natalie Wood, I'd put in that category, and maybe even Catherine Deneuve.
Yeah, I would agree on all those.
I mean, just absolutely.
And Ruth Buzzy.
Naturally.
You don't think so? Come on.
You're mean. What if Ruth Buzzy's listening somewhere?
Yes.
She just fell off her park bench.
Okay, and you're both mean. You're really mean.
And she hit Artie Johnson with her purse a bunch of times.
And she had the nylon hairnet on.
Now she's going to rob a bank.
That's all right. I can
always liked
that.
Her hose.
I know. God Laughing was the best show ever. I'm sorry. Why don't they bring that back?
You know what, though? I'm serious when I say this because I have that same exact thought, but watch them now and you won't think it's funny.
I watched
some on
YouTube.
But you have to update it with people from now.
They tried once. There was a summer where they put it back on
but
for 1 year.
But was it the same people?
No, it was none of the same people.
God, they'd be so... Now, you know, Artie Johnson wouldn't be on
their
a
lines.
Tricycle. He'd be in a wheelchair or one of those scamps.
Goldie Hawn, she'd be like, where am I?
Oh, no.
Was Alan Seuss on there, too?
The late Alan Seuss.
See, everybody's gone.
Yeah. Gary Owens died a couple years ago.
Dan and Dick aren't around.
Dan and Dick are both gone.
All right, we can't
forget. Teresa Graves is out of show business.
I don't know who that is.
Henry
Gibson?
Henry Gibson's no longer with us.
Is Goldie Hawn the only survivor? Joanne Worley's still
alive. Lily Tomlin's still alive.
Oh, yeah. Ruth Buzzy.
Ann Elder is still alive.
Seriously, how old is Ruth Buzzy? I mean,
she's got to be in her 80s.
If OJ's 70, how old is Ruth Buzzy? Don't you love this joke?
They brought it back for a year, and I think Robin Williams was in the cast when they brought it back.
Really?
Yeah, and
I don't
remember. It wasn't, but as magical as they seemed, I've gone back and watched it. It's just not.
Well, it doesn't. I don't know. See, it's weird to say it doesn't stand up to today's comedy,
right.
But a lot of like your early comedians don't stand up.
No,
well, that's not true either.
But
that's not true.
Because the pacing was so strange, like if somebody says, and this was, I mean, you watch the show, so you know this, right? We'll have Artie Johnson just wearing a raincoat. He'll be sitting on a bench, and then somebody will come along and spray him with a hose, and he'll fall off the bench, and that's it. You go, why would we bother doing that? But a lot of it, he's riding a bicycle, and the bicycle tips over. It was like the Banana Splits.
Yeah.
There was like no plot
does
to it at all.
Does that still hold up?
Yes.
All right.
That does. That holds up, but I think Banana Splits is more relevant today than it was when they first came out with it.
Well, it was totally, for honest to God, you hear ADHD now. That's what's going on in a person who has ADHD. That's going on in their mind.
Right.
Now for something completely, very interesting. Into something else, into Goldie Hawn go-go dancing with things. It was just...
It was nonstop, and it was kind of like Saturday Night Live now. That's how I
very
think
much
it. You know
so.
What I mean?
Because
they had
very
those inside
much.
Jokes. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat Paulson.
Right. You'd get a lot of Pat Paulson
too
on there.
Much sometimes.
A lot of Here Come the Judge.
Here Come the Judge. Here Come the Judge.
For no reason at all. So sometimes it was Sammy Davis Jr. doing that, and other times it was a guy named Pigmeat Markham. That was his name. And there was nothing behind it. It was just a guy in a judge's robe with a gavel saying that and dancing around and people following him. That was it.
But it was just a palate cleanser.
Why?
It was a palate cleanser, like to change
the
scene.
Yeah, he was the sherbet. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
It must have just been timing.
But it, you know how,
you know, because we all embraced it. Why?
I'm
going to
watch it tonight and let you know, because I've seen clips.
Watch a whole, because it was
a whole
an hour.
Episode, yeah.
Watch an
I
entire hour, and by
time.
The end of it, you just go, oh. Like, you know, on Saturday Night Live, when they're doing something right, you think about it when the show's over. You go, oh, that was interesting the way they had this and this and this. With Rona Martin's Laughing, as much as I loved it, and I loved it when I was a kid, I've gone back and watched whole episodes, and then when I'm done, I'm like,
your mind is
no
empty?
Substance at all.
There wasn't any substance.
And, you know, Lorne Michaels was one of the writers on the show. That's what got him his American start. He was part of a comedy team in Canada. But they brought him here to write for Laughing, and he did for 2 or 3 years, and then that spawned the idea of Saturday Night Live. But I always want it to hold up, and then whenever I watch it, by the time it's over, I'm like, oh, no.
I got to rewatch it. I love the little doors they open to talk to people.
Right. But that just gave them an excuse to do what we're saying is they would open a door, they would do a joke that wasn't funny, they'd play the laugh track, and the laugh track was going nuts over the joke. And then all of a sudden, Judy Carn was gone again. no time to react.
I have never heard you break bad on laughing before.
I'm sorry.
I'm kind of shocked.
I want it so bad.
There's but it was a
well, it sounds like
things.
He loves it, but...
I love it. I love the nostalgia angle of it.
Exactly. You
right?
just love the idea of it.
And I mean, it was on Monday nights. I was a little kid, but I went out of my way. It was one of the things that made me want to get involved in comedy because I thought, wow, that's so cool. They're just saying stuff and people are loving it. That's so nice.
And hot girls in bikinis, go-go dancing.
Doing some go-go dancing with words written all over
their
bodies.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of good for a young boy, too.
You know, to hear you rip it apart now, I can't stand it. I'm never watching
it.
That
was not my goal.
Like, I wasted my
time
watching it.
No, don't. I hope you won't.
No, like I said, it is. It was kind of dumb, but we all loved it and embraced it.
And we didn't have cable television back then, so this was very unique,
right.
And it really stood out as, wow, this is hip. Cool,
it was cool.
And
it was cool
edge.
To watch laughing.
And they got guys like Richard Nixon wasn't showing up on any other show, but when they wanted Richard Nixon to just say, suck it to me, and then have somebody throw a pie at him, he would do it. Or like the coolest guys at the time were like Joe Namath was like the coolest guy in sports. So Joe Namath, not a problem. We can get Joe Namath. He's on the show really quick. You know, it was easy. So I feel bad because it does certainly have its place in the pantheon of what TV comedy is, without a doubt. It was a very important thing. But it's one of those things that just does, in my opinion, as sad as it is to say, it just doesn't hold up at all.
Well, maybe it made it you know, made way for something else, for some other
for Saturday Night Live.
Right. Okay, Saturday
it did.
Night,
it is the gateway to SNL.
Yeah, it was a gateway, so that it served its purpose.
Yes.
Are you going to now tell me that Love American Style wasn't good?
Oh, don't even go there.
No, Love American Style's good.
It still holds up?
Oh, yeah.
And how about when every episode I was like dying to see how it would end?
Yes. Well, I wonder if they'll get together.
Well, I hope they get together. And they always did. So I was very happy.
I remember Bill Bixby being on it a lot.
Yeah.
It seemed like every week he was one of the guests, Bill Bixby.
We were young when it came out because I had a friend I grew up with whose parents wouldn't let her watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean your parents wouldn't
let her watch it? Yeah, way too risque.
I watched it with my mom. I mean, there again, we had one TV back then, and like you kind of watched what your parents
watched. Yeah, I watched exactly.
Right.
Or you didn't get to watch TV.
I love Dark Shadows.
Oh, yeah, me too.
They wouldn't let me. Yeah, go ahead and watch it with me. Okay.
I think because on Love American Style, it was one of the first shows. I don't know if it was the first show, but it was one of the first shows where they would infer that a man and a woman were going to go to bed together and they were not married.
Like, I'm still waiting for Jimmy Mack to push my bed around the street. That's what I'm hoping.
Now, how weird
make
is this?
The bed move?
They did that on Love American Style and on The Monkees. There were
on
both shows. There were beds that were.
What about Laughing? I bet they did that on a scene.
They might have on Laughing. I don't remember. Maybe it's possible.
Here comes the bed.
Judy, thank you for sticking around and for putting that thought in our heads.
Yes.
That's beautiful. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll close the shop up for this evening. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
This evening?
Yes, tonight. All right, that's it. We've lost our lease.
I'd like to say we've gone fishing.
Yeah, we've gone fishing.
We haven't lost our lease.
Back tomorrow. We've gone fishing. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Greatly appreciated. Tomorrow's the big Thursday show. Who's on? We have Tim Kavanaugh's on tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who else?
Somebody? John Weideman. We're going to be talking about the Blackhawks convention that's happening this weekend. Just a word to the wise before we go, if I may. If you ever meet O.J. Simpson, don't shake his hand.
Are you proud of yourself?
Kind of.
All right. That's it. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.